that we're over time, so we'll reconvene this meeting. Okay, I think the floor was yours, Dr. Appleton.
Working off the draft 10-10-2019, I suggest in the opening paragraph, this is made between San Juan County Fire Protection District Number 3, a Washington, as defined under RCW Title 52, print, Fire District, end print, Washington Municipal Corporation. So adding as defined under RCW Title 52, print, Fire District. And after public hospital, the hospital district, finishing the sentence as defined under RCW 70.44, print, Hospital District, end print, period.
You're adding the as defined under RCW.
As defined under RCWs.
Okay. I don't have a problem with that.
Well, so you're saying it's applicable, right? I mean, that's the bottom line.
If someone reading this contract in the future makes it easier for someone to understand. Interesting if you've ever read those.
It's reiterated in Section 5.1.
Yeah.
Those are RCWs.
Yeah.
Well, and our council, PhD's council, cites the applicable RCWs too, so they work both ways.
Yeah, it's in there twice, but I don't have a problem putting it in there twice, yeah.
Have you ever read RCW 52?
I've read portions of it. I don't think I've read it through from the beginning to end.
It's 3 pages.
Well, yeah. I'm looking at pieces of it here and there. There's other things I've been
It's 5 paragraphs or 6 paragraphs. I mean, it's an amazing short RCW.
Yeah.
And there's no legal writing in it. That's another story.
Yeah.
Nathan, are you taking notes?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and may I invite Pam and Nathan to participate as well, as they have observations?
Absolutely.
Insights.
I should have mentioned that. Thanks for calling that to my attention.
I would letter them to you. We're going to have to jump around, but it's easier to letter them and talk about them. But the first one is, whereas A, I put in the word duly authorized citizens advisory group, recommended on April the 2nd, not April the 1st. Correct, Nathan?
We said that earlier.
Yeah.
Huh? Nathan said that earlier, Warren.
Okay, so it should be, but we're making motions to change it.
No, we're not. We're just talking.
Okay, so I say April the 2nd.
I thought we changed that.
This is what I would put in. That within the next 2 years, the two boards, the fire district and the hospital district, and this is quoting verbatim from the CAG, and the town of Friday Harbor, with the support of the San Juan County Council, will, I would add those words, then they would keep the word integrate, then I'd put in the word pre-hospital emergency medical services.
Okay, this interlocal agreement is only between fire and EMS. It doesn't have anything to do with town, but I don't have a problem, I guess, quoting.
Well, it's what the CAG said. I mean, they didn't say just those two. They said, and coordinating with these people. So in future iterations, they might need to be coordinated with, and they should be invited in. I mean, that's what we just talked about is phase 2 or 3, whatever we're calling these phases.
So our counsel says that he wasn't involved with the CAG in this NAP, so we need to educate him, Nathan, in terms of what Dr. Appleton is referring to. So he has an understanding where Warren is coming from.
I think I went over this. He has the verbiage.
That's the same one, yeah.
But it doesn't say.
I went over it with the previous contract because I didn't get 10-10 until late Friday night.
Yeah, I
looked at my emails at 10 o'clock Friday night.
So they do say that. They do not say pre-hospital and medical. They say, and the town of Friday Harbor, with the support of San Juan Council, integrate San Juan Island EMS and FDH. We might as well take it directly out of the CAG if we're going to do that. If you want to have it exactly, then we should take the recommendation right out of CAG.
Okay, then do it.
I don't have a problem.
Okay. So just 1.1 out of the CAG report.
All right, they can work that in there.
Acceptable, just to put it right out of the CAG?
We can't do business here.
No, but I mean, okay, different question. Anybody have any other comments?
I wouldn't get, I mean, you're not doing business, you're just talking about it, it's fine.
Well, there's a fine line between the two.
We'll put together the proposals and then we'll distribute it out.
Continue, sir.
Okay. Under implementation.
So where are you here?
1.1.
Okay.
Provide these services and or voter approval funding. It can't be and or. It has to be or and.
I had that too. So.
And it has to be and because you can't do it unless you have the money and that's the levy. So it has to be and. My point here, one of my points here is the devil is always in the details of these things.
Well, that's why we're looking at it.
And to have this short amount of time to go through this, when I spent, how much time did we spend on this one last week, Nathan?
4 or 5 hours.
4 or 5 hours. And then all of a sudden, it changed the day after.
Well, that's why we're going through
these,
it now.
Well, but these changes, Warren, in all fairness, are incremental changes. It's not like you're starting off with a new document. These are incremental, and we're going through those again today. And actually, this is a refinement process that we're going through now, I think.
I understand that. My point being
okay, so let's
that
ask.
You could, I don't know about every other human in this world, but there's many times when I'm out for a walk or Nancy and I are eating dinner, all of a sudden, and she'll attest to this, oh my God, I should have thought of this. And sometimes it's days later. And to try to, but the point is, the devil's in the details and this is going very quickly. That's my point. Okay. Mark, earlier you said 24,000 on one point. Where are we working off?
I would like to comment on the 30,000. I have we talked about, in fact, one of the questions was that.
Where are we here? We're
1.3.
1.3, and it has to do with the amount of money that we're going to pay.
Well, Mark earlier said 24,000. I like that number.
That was in the old one. Okay. So one of the questions that came from the group here was maintain fiscal neutrality by decreasing EMS expenses in the amount commensurate with contract costs. That's actually how we came up with that. However, we're actually going to save about 85,000 and we're going to pay 30. So it's plenty. And the way I get that 85,000 as we went through it is one of the issues is the difference between the chief and the interim chief, which is $15,000. So right now we're saving $15,000 on that.
Annually?
The other one is, yeah, this is all annually. The other one is the we will no longer need the CPA that we've been using because we won't have that. Now, that doesn't mean that the PhD board can't decide if they want another CPA or the same CPA.
Well, we have.
But if we do, it saves $40,000.
Or reduce some of the time.
Or we do some of the time. So we got a $40,000 saved there, and a plus or minus, it's still more, it's still 85 compared to 30. And the second part, or the third part of it, is the difference between last year we got two new EMTs, and they took over the responsibilities of the logistics coordinator and the operations, operations person. And so their salary minus the salary so the original operations and logistics we would save, then you add or subtract their salary from it, and it's about a difference of about $30,000.
Excellent.
Can you do that on the top?
It's about 16.
That's pretty good.
When you want to work it out, because we took those two pieces and spread it out amongst the four, but the difference between what the ops director was paid and a staff EMT and a logistics officer and a staff EMT comes out to be about 16.
Okay, so we got 16, we got 15, and we got, if you want to cut the 40 in half, we still have way more than the 30 that we're paying for.
Well, we should account for the fact that we've hired an accounting firm, a
That's for PhD.
That's not for EMS.
But aren't they billing some, aren't they working on some of the EMS?
So far, we haven't had any expenses with them yet.
But the intention was to have them transition to take over.
Yeah, but not as much as what Chris was doing, not a monthly.
Sure, but there should be a portion of that that needs to go into that.
Okay. So even if we use 20, we have, you know, we have.
So what is the total?
51,000.
So I think I would think that if we're going to have somebody of the experience and background and financial knowledge, also besides operations knowledge of Chief Collins, that we pay him at least the $30,000 for the time. Now we're not paying him. This is the other issue. This money does not go to him. This money goes to the fire department, and they use it for administrative costs and some other costs to cover all of this administration stuff. So we're not paying the chief's salary. We are contracting with the department to help administrate in this administrative ILA.
Thank you for clarifying. But to that point, I think under 1.3, you also need a statement in there that Chief Collins is an employee of the fire district, and as you said, and not of this district. He's sort of like a consultant to this district. I mean, that's what this contract says, that he's a consultant. And I don't want to assume the liability if he is driving one of our vehicles and there's an accident. I don't want to assume the liability of uniforms, personal cell phones, or all the other things. And I think that needs to be in this contract.
It is in the contract. The debts and obligations are separate, independent governments.
But we talk here about based on estimated workload and assumption of liability. What does that mean?
It means his assumption of liability.
His assumption?
Fire department's assumption of liability.
There.
There.
I would like a clause in there that says that is, because if he starts driving our vehicle and there's an accident out there, then we're liable. Because as an agency question, the car is the agent, and he's in, so that we're both liable. I don't want that to happen.
So is that your
He intention? Has his own vehicle. He drives it all the time.
Is that your intention to have him drive our rigs? I don't think
no.
so.
No, but we put that in there as a liability issue, that if all of a sudden he's at a scene and, I got to go, takes one of our vehicles, and then there's an accident, we got a problem.
And
that is, should be their liability, their employee, et cetera.
And it's, I think it's covered for partly in insurance, maintenance of insurance, and hold harmless, the hold harmless clause. So maybe we should wait till we get there and put a question mark back.
What number are we at?
Well, it's covered under 6. So 6.1, maintenance of insurance for each party maintain current insurance levels.
Okay.
And then 6.4.
So, Nathan, I'd have Richard Davis, if not Joe Quinn, just field that question. It might be already embedded in the document. If that's the case, fine and dandy. If it's not, then, it needs to be inserted. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, I'll put a little note here. And after you've talked about the 6.4 hold harmless clause, you still have concerns. We can.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah. We should probably call it 6.2. We go from 6.1 to 6.4.
Yes, we should.
Does that apply to all the cross-train people who are hired under one, or are they going to be under one?
At this point of time, anybody who is a cross-trained firefighter EMT is part of this agency as an EMT.
I'd like to go back to the third whereas on 10.
On 10?
I mean on 10-10, on this, the 10-10 contract.
Oh, 10-10. Okay.
The third whereas, where it says approach whereby the fire district can ultimately replace. Well, actually, it should say the fire district can potentially ultimately replace. This contract is just to create the potential for it, not to dictate it ultimately.
Where are you here, Warren?
Whereas, third paragraph under the whereases, which I have in my contract that we went over last week, I labeled it C.
Just use the word may instead of can.
Say that again?
Use the word may instead of can.
Yeah.
Okay. May. Okay.
Okay.
That's even better.
Got that?
Or potentially.
Sure, either.
Okay. That's a wordsmithing issue, but I think it's important.
Okay, I got that.
Thank you, sir.
So going back.
So let's do 1.4 then.
Oh, wait, Nathan, do you have a question or comment?
Nope, I just was going to redirect back to 1.3. If you were done with that one.
As was on, we need to pin that down. What is the number?
1.4 refers us to...
1.3.
Oh, okay.
Compensated.
I didn't know if you decided on that one or not, if you were to settle on the 30,000 or if you were still talking about that.
Well, it's certainly justifiable. It's not like it's going to add to the financial burden of San Juan Island EMS or the district. It's going to be mitigated by money saved elsewhere, so I think 30,000 is reasonable, and you gave a pretty good reason for the basis of that, Rebecca. So that's my take on it.
So that is $2,500 a month?
Well, 30,000 okay. Or but, prorated.
Yeah, but $2,500 a month.
$2,500.
So if we're paying them $100 an hour, 25 hours, I how much are plumbers cost on this island? 90, I think, the fire?
Yeah, 125.
125, so what are you paying the fire chief? What does he get over there? Are we paying him more than he gets over there for the same service?
I can't imagine. And again, it doesn't go to mitigate his salary. It's actually given
That's
to
right.
fire chief.
I understand that.
So it's not going to him. It's going to his clerk, and it's going to paper, and it's going to some of the administrative duties. So it's not.
Okay, so let's put that in there that he remains an employee of the fire department.
Okay, and that's what we talked about.
Going on to 4.5, or 4. Whatever we have.
And Nathan, that's what you're going to ask Richard about that particular thing.
About the him being an employee?
Yeah.
I don't recall that. Did we already talk about that?
Well, we can't.
No.
If we make him an employee here.
No,
then
no,
we have
no
L&I, all that stuff.
No.
So it has to be
no.
very clear that he's not an employee not here, or else
well, it's
in our
that.
Audit, it, is why wasn't he on L&I? We have to be careful, not only of this thing, but our audits with the state. As I'm saying, I'll say it, I'm probably going to say it 30 more times, the devil is in the details of these things. And we've been at this now for an hour and 40 minutes minus one flush break.
So you're going to say he was a consultant. You were going to put something about being a consultant in that paragraph.
Yeah, that's basically what he's coming over. He's doing a consult. Mm-hmm. And I would put that he's an employee and he's a consultant here.
Well, he's an employee of Fire 3.
He's an employee of Fire 3. His role here is as a consultant from Fire 3 to here.
I'm not sure consultant's the right term.
No.
But I don't know what term to use. But I don't think consultant's the right term.
He's a contractor.
We're contracting for services, so.
He'll be a contractor.
He'll be a contractor.
Yeah.
A
contractor.
But in Exhibit A, it says.
Then I'd like the word contractor, because.
But
I don't want anyone to be able to read this. Any aggressive plaintiff's attorney to read this and say, oh, we got a deep pocket at fire, and boy, the PhD, there's another deep pocket if there's.
But that's not congruent with what Exhibit A says. The fire chief will serve as the chief executive and administrative officer for the hospital district EMS services.
Yeah.
Chief executive and administrative officer, the chief supervises either directly or through delegation of authority to all EMS officers, response personnel, and civilian personnel, regardless of assignments for EMS.
So the question
you can't call him a consultant if this says that he's the chief executive.
But he's a contractor.
Then the fire chief will serve as the contracted chief executive and administrative officer.
That might be the way to solve it.
Excellent.
Okay.
One point four takes us to Exhibit B. Exhibit B is confusing to me because I don't understand what the full lines and the dotted lines.
The dotted line was an attempt by me to show kind of an equality between the two assistant chiefs, and that's really not appropriate.
Because ours is better than theirs, right?
Do you want to strike it, Carl? Is that what you're
I would saying? Say the dotted line between the two assistant chiefs should probably be the same.
Okay.
And so the straight line under fire chief then goes to nowhere?
It's actually a diagonal line. It was supposed to, I think this is a formatting error. The way I originally drew it was that it's a slanted line just the same as the one going to Assistant Chief EMS Division, it's the same slanted line that should go to Assistant Chief Fire Division.
Yeah, and generally on that matter, be patient with the formatting, because when in my, you know, when we look at this in Word, you've got red marks all over the place. You can't really fix the formatting until you're ready to approve all the changes.
So what I would suggest, if they're going to have two diagonal lines, that the left diagonal line, as we're looking at it, points at 8 o'clock going over to the Assistant Chief of the Fire Division.
Correct.
Be different than the line going to the other side, because one, he is the employee, they're all employees down the fire side, and he's in that line. Over here, coming to you at the 4 o'clock, that's different. And if equal lines imply equal. So I would do, in formatting, I'd do it differently, and then make a footnote. This is not to imply that the fire chief is an employee here. He's a consultant.
Well, that's okay, redundant, well, but to have it, if you're going to have a graphical, why not? I mean, I tell you, oftentimes it's better to have belt and suspenders repeated, and there is no doubt.
Okay. Well, yeah, as a plaintiff's attorney, you always look for the doubt and the discrepancies inside the contract, and you attack it, because then it can't be explained at a suit. And then the more confused you make the plaintiff, the defendants look, the more likely they are to win the suit.
So, Commissioner Appleton, what he's suggesting is that we add under 1.4 that the fire chief remains an employee of the fire district and is a contractor of the hospital district. Is that accurate?
Under
1.4?
Well, it was 1.3, but it could be under either, because we have the organizational structure. It makes more sense to have it under the organizational structure, doesn't it?
Okay. Second, does that, does that?
And we can go over this tomorrow. I mean, get it in the right spot, but just get the general idea that that's what we're doing here today.
Okay.
All the paramedics left. No, but I was talking about 1.5.
We haven't gone to use that.
It was their note that created 1.5, right?
Correct.
Yes.
And I think Annalisa asked Carl if, to their satisfaction, is.
I have not heard back from from Ryan, who's the shop steward for the contracted employees. I haven't heard any plus, minus, whatever, other than I let him know that I moved his concerns forward, and we think we've got some language in here that should,
Well,
should
we
help
need to pursue that.
Do that.
And I think there was confusion with the paramedics, too, about what kind of contract this is, the fact that their union contract and the employment of it, we're still EMS, nothing's changing. So if they're not changing, their union contract isn't changing, their leadership isn't changing, you're the leader. So
and this proviso accommodates
and this
just
says,
that no changes and their status will be maintained.
Yeah.
Instead of encourages the fire, you just say that the hospital district encourages them to retain their wage and benefits, but you should say it should stay the same. It will stay the same.
Well, it will through this, but what they're saying, this if a successor agreement is executed, then you guys have the choice of making that decision. But that's what they're saying. They can't promise. I mean, this contract, you know, we can't promise that it's going to stay the same.
Well, again, it's a living document.
And the term of the contract's only until 2022.
Yes. So, they're
again,
saying
it kind of speaks to the time. Yeah. Everything seems to kind of be happening. 2022 seems to be a magic year.
Like 1776.
Section 2, are we there yet?
I was there.
Oh, good.
Under 2.1, agreement administrators, the fire district chief, and the superintendent of the hospital district, and or their designees. That's a good use of and or. Shall act as administrators of this agreement for purposes of RCW 39.34 ETSEQ, period. It's the whole section, not just one section of 3934. They are administrators of the whole section, not just that one subsection of 3934. I think there's
20 subsections of 3934. So some of them deal with architects and stuff, but
can we just strike them the 0.03?
So instead, yeah, 0.03, you're going under the whole interlocal agreement that allows you to make it and da-da-da-da-da. It's so that whole subsection, not just that one, that whole section, not that one little subsection.
Nathan, can you pass that by Richard, too, just to make sure that he didn't have that for some legal reason that we don't know?
Yeah, I wrote it down.
Okay. Thanks.
And if it is some legal reason we don't know, I'd like to know what it is.
Well, we all would.
We all would.
Sure.
That would help.
Did Richard address that at all?
No, he did not.
Okay. All right. Yeah,
During the term of this agreement, the fire chief shall provide the hospital district board secretary, Nathan.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Chief.
Or why not to you? You're the co-administrator.
It's, you know, that's a lousy term. Hospital district secretary, we don't have a secretary.
I know, and it's like, yeah. But why didn't they just report?
He is the board secretary. Yes. He's the one that takes the minutes, gets the meetings together.
And he's called a secretary?
Yes.
Per se?
And so we don't have
recording
a board
secretary.
Oh, wait, I think it's Nathan.
Yeah. I feel so valued right now.
And I stand corrected, so very happy.
And this is the way it always proceeds. That's why we put it in that way.
You know, I had an executive assistant tag, but it kept falling off. So I switched to my board recording secretary badge.
I thought it was recording secretary.
Board recording. Yeah.
Okay, guys, let's go.
Anyway,
all right. It goes to him.
Next thing.
First, so he can give it
I'm trying to learn here.
So meetings.
So that's I'll why, get Warren. It. So this is the way that all the action goes through the superintendent's office.
Term of agreement, 2-year term.
Okay, so this is the 2-year agreement that continues until it is terminated earlier, or until they go to a successor agreement. Well, and that's so that we don't have to, that if you decide to continue it, you don't have to have another agreement set up. This is the administrative agreement. It'll last for 2 years unless you terminate it earlier, or it disappears because you have a successor agreement take its place.
Then why don't we put that in here so everyone understands it when they read the contract?
So the successor agreement should be in there.
I mean, that terminology that you just quoted.
Yeah.
Why not?
Something about the successor
agreement. Unless terminated earlier is provided herein, or it says it's provided herein, and they talk about the successor agreement in number 4.1, but it's automatic termination upon voter approval, and the fire district starts to provide service. I suppose it doesn't matter if we say it in two places.
Yeah, in a few.
We'll just say 3.1, we'll say unless terminated earlier is provided herein, or terminated due to a successor agreement or something like that, however it comes out.
Pursuant was the word that the...
Yeah, I can replace the as provided herein and then put in the successor agreement thing. We do have that referenced in 1.1 or a few other places, but...
We have it in like three places, but that's good.
You got that down?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
3.2. What is a wind-up period?
Okay, it explains it in it.
We have a big dictionary in our living room, the OED. You ever read the book about how the OED was written? It's an amazing book, but I looked up wind-up term, and the only thing I could find was baseball.
It's a legal...
I don't know. What is a wind-up term?
It says it here. For purposes of this agreement, the term material breach means a failure of performance by either party of a material term of this agreement, provided that the non-breaching party has provided notice to the breaching party and a reasonable opportunity to cure. Then, in the event of a material breach, the hospital district, blah, 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 continues to perform their respective obligations under this agreement for a minimum of 6 months, which is the wind-up period. And that's a term of art, according to Richard Davis, that is in all merger contracts. So the wind-up period is the obligations that you, once if you continue to perform, and if you have a material breach, you continue to perform for a minimum of 6 months, which is the wind-up period.
So I would like an appendix that defines wind-up period, so it's very clear to everybody.
It says the wind-up, in parentheses, the wind-up period is the minimum of 6 months. so mutually agree otherwise, continue to perform their respective obligations under this agreement for a minimum of 6 months, the wind-up period. So the minimum of 6 months is the wind-up period.
You know, it's an odd thing about the English language.
Why do we need the word wind-up then, if it's for the 6 months?
That's the term of art that's used in merger agreements, and Richard Davis put it in, and him being the expert in mergers and our attorney of record. I mean, we can ask him if he can take it out.
Well, Joe, well,
ask him what it means. If it means the first 6 months, then we have a meeting of the minds at the first 6 months. But if the wind-up period has some other other than just the first 6 months.
I think it's the dissolution period.
Period.
What?
No.
So something bad happens, and then you have to wait six months until you change things around.
So I think Warren's point is well stated. Because when I read this for the 12th time, that wind-up period, that's kind of a goofy term. If you define it later.
Okay, let's ask Richard if he's left work.
Yeah.
Let's ask Richard if we can take it out and it makes a difference, or if he can explain it another way. How about that?
Or give a definition.
And why does
an
it take 6 months
definition?
To get out of it?
Yeah, what about a maximum of 6 months?
That's not a contract. This is the material breach. So if somebody does a material, if somebody, it's a failure of performance by either party.
Right.
So if they fail.
Why then is it six months?
Excuse me for interrupting, but could I have an example of a material breach, just to be clear?
Let's say you don't pay the contracted fees. So, you,
so the hospital district says
you've agreed that you're going to pay the chief $30,000,
mm-hmm, and we don't pay it.
And we don't pay it.
Okay. So that wind-up period, due to be named something else, is at a minimum of 6 months.
It lets us kind of untangle everything and put the pieces back into place.
But still under this.
I still think it's confusing. Now, maybe I'm the stupidest person in the room, but it confused me yet again today.
I think that, Rebecca, is that how you understand it, or Nathan? Because that's how I understand it. So let's say we do something, we don't do something that's outlined in the contract. For example, don't pay him. Then we basically take 6 months to untangle everything and put it back the way it was.
Wouldn't you want to have a maximum of 6 months and try to do it sooner because you'd want things to run better?
Right. I mean, and what if...
Why is it a minimum? It still has to keep running. Even if something's going wrong, you have to keep running for 6 months. I don't know.
Well, you do. You do.
You can't just say, because you're obligated to the citizens. You can't very well...
Well, right, but you could fix it before 6 months. In 3 months, you could fix it. So why not be maximum of six months instead of a minimum? In other words, you have to keep functioning at your... by this contract for 6 months, even if you could fix it in 3 months and just be done with this, you know, separating, or you can go the whole 6 months if you need to.
I think we just don't understand it.
It's protecting fire's interest. This clause is protecting fire.
Right, but what about protecting the public hospital district and the EMS? I mean, it could be turned in the opposite direction. If we could find that the fire chief isn't performing one of his obligations under this contract, and therefore then we have 6 months to sit through something like
It's both. It's either party. Failure of performance by either party.
Right. Sure, but why not be maximum of 6 months instead of a minimum?
I would say let's ask Richard Davis. I mean, I just stopped this conversation because none of us really seem to understand it.
It's clarification.
And why are we locked into a six-month time?
I don't know.
To give him a fair chance. That's not
That's a different subject.
Yeah,
this is just after a breach of contract, specifically. Yeah.
So let's ask him if you could, Nathan. Can you pass that on to Richard?
Because it seems like if something's not going well, we don't really need to stick with it for 6 months.
Well, that's not what they're saying here. That's not what they're saying here. This is a material breach, which is different than that. So let's just ask Richard if he can explain it better.
Yeah, okay.
So I think what we're going into is the termination part, which is number four. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's what we've been talking about.
My question is going to be, why isn't this under four? If it's a termination clause.
Because it's a term of agreement, so it's a material breach. It's not a termination.
Material breach is a termination.
It leads to it, but it's a term. Okay. Ask that to
That's what I think. If I learn nothing else in law school, a material breach is a termination. And I might not have learned anything else.
I like that it's separated because they are already different.
Okay, we're going to do the definition of wind-up period because it keeps getting talked about up here.
Yeah, darn tootin'.
Yeah. I don't get to use my linguistics background that often, but the use of the word up there is little like saying turn the air conditioner down. You're just like, well, what exactly do you mean? Do you mean turn it up or turn it down? Because if I tell you I'm going to wind things up here, it could mean the exact same thing as saying I'm going to wind things down here. So it's a little opaque, you know, depending on how you use it.
Yeah.
So, but if it's a legal term that means something different from how you and I would think of it, then we need to know. So we should just ask.
But then it can be subsequently defined in an addendum.
I have found something. A wind-up period is just a period of time to transition out of the agreement based on material breach. As I have said before, I don't think there is much to do in terms of winding things up under this agreement, given the relatively modest degree of the fire district's involvement in the EMS services. As to Nathan's comment about whether the section is appropriate, I think the section is probably more appropriate under Section 4, which is what you just said. So he said that, so we could move it to Section 4.
But still, I'd still like to know what wind-up period is.
Well, but he explained it in his...
Okay, but I'd like that in here so someone...
Okay.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
So we don't have 10 pieces of paper.
So let's ask Richard if he can revise that, ask him to explain it, and move it down to termination.
Okay, I got those three things.
Okay. And now we can move on down to termination.
So, 4.1, there's nothing in there about if the voters don't approve. So what do we do?
Okay, wait. If it's in the event...
Do we just wait for it to terminate after a 2-year period?
Yes, correct. That's my understanding.
That's what it says.
If it fails to transition.
Yes, yeah, so this agreement shall terminate.
Couldn't we just terminate the agreement under, just because we wanted to, we can terminate the agreement, so...
Seems like the will of the voters should be respected.
Yeah.
So that's like two separate things you're saying. So this is automatic termination. Once the voters approve this, then it goes away.
Right.
And the next paragraph is if you guys want to terminate it within a time period, then it goes away.
Right.
So you kind of have two things.
Right,
so
but so my question, is in 4.1, it says termination upon voter approval, but what about termination if the voters don't approve it? Then do we just move to 4.2 and then wait 6 months?
Okay, so you're saying we should put... No,
if we don't get approval.
If the voters don't approve it, then they do have another shot to do it the following year, or to set up their own EMS levy. I mean, they could do a whole bunch of things, which is where you guys would come into play.
And I think
that's not in here.
In our timeline, we're not. We don't want to wait to the last minute to figure out the funding issue.
Yes.
We don't want to wait until November of 2021 to make the determination because if it fails. We're stuck. Because then we can't operate under fire and we can't operate as EMS because there's no funding because we lost the vote. So hopefully we're deciding how we're going to fund this, whether it's a fire lid lift, a separate fire district EMS levy. And if neither of those work prior to our kind of our last want, then we can always renew an EMS levy. The PhD.
Thank you, Everett.
Yeah, sorry I'm leaving early or late or whatever it is. But thank you.
We'll be here tomorrow morning, so come on by.
Okay, yeah. I'll swing by.
Yeah, how much time do you have?
Yeah, right. Thank you.
Absolutely.
So in 4.2, the last sentence, we have another wind-up period.
Right, well, if he changes that, then... I mean, see, that's what he's saying here, is that the wind-up period is a period of time to transition out. So that's what a wind-up period means.
But it needs to be embedded in the document. That's what I'm saying, and that's what Warren said.
Yeah, so if we're going to change 3.2 and have him explain that, then it would be the
same thing. I've got it circled as well.
And are we still operating within this, neither party may terminate this agreement within the first 12 months?
No, after 6 months.
6 months.
So we're changing that
to 6 months.
If you look at the title.
Back to what was before, 4.2.
Okay. Yeah, the title says 6 months.
The title says 6 months, so that's obvious.
So that would be the soonest that it could be terminated, yes. 6 months.
The termination process started, and then that process would take an additional six months.
Right. So basically that'd be 12 months.
For total dissolution. Okay. So it's a ratchet down.
So but it might go faster, and I maybe we should put that in too. Because
well, my understanding for some standard contracts, and we do have an attorney present. I don't know if any of you...
An attorney that resigned from the board of the bar 9 years ago.
A non-practicing attorney, but you know, still someone who understands legalese. But my understanding is that with contracts, it's fairly standard to have either party may cancel the contract within 90 days without cause. Mm-hmm. And could we have that in this contract?
That was in one of the original.
And if not, yes. I would like to know why not.
Yeah,
because that's my understanding. And why wouldn't we want to have something like that?
Carl might be able to speak to that because we talked about it, and we talked about the fact that putting it together takes a lot of time and effort, and so we didn't want to just say, okay, I mean, it's going to take 3 months to get everybody, you know, together and on, and you want to speak to that?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of bounced mm-hmm. a couple of different ideas around. And I think what we finally landed on was the fact that for 90 days, 3 months, that there could be a lot of things just starting to show up and see if we can kind of make things happen operationally. And if we pull the rug out prior to letting things have a chance to
ripen,
get up and running, that it may, that it makes a difficult situation.
So I'm just going to throw out,
giving us 6 months, given how things tend to move as you try to implement change in an organization that's used to doing things a certain way, mm-hmm. might be a more applicable, and I think that's kind of where we landed. And does that sound right, Rebecca? That's mm-hmm. I mean, that's okay. That was my thinking behind it.
Yeah. So I'm going to throw this little scenario out. We talk about the value of Chief Collins, and the value of you and the expertise we have and how crucial people are to the implementation of this integration. Life happens. I've been in organizations where somebody dropped dead and all this, a replacement came in and that replacement was not what we had all expected and things were not going well. I think this allows us something like that in the event that there were some untoward, totally unexpected thing to happen. Like the loss of a crucial person. I mean, everyone speaks so highly of Chief Collins, and it sounds like he's a pretty integral person in this integration. And to have a little more leeway, if something were to happen, you know, God forbid, but we know things happen, it gives a little more...
It's more of a safety net for the staff.
I mean... Yeah.
So are you?
I would just ask for that consideration.
So are you suggesting a clause that says
90 days without cause?
If the fire chief changes, the contract is
I'm not
dissolved.
Necessarily saying that. No. I was just throwing that out as an example of why you might want to have that either party may cancel the contract within 90 days without cause.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that was just a scenario that
okay.
I just threw out.
Because the truth is, the way this is written with the wind-up period, which may change, you have to go a year. With this, if you decide after 6 months to end it, you're going to go another 6 months to wind it up. So you're going to have a whole year of dealing with a situation where if you have the 90-day clause, then you do. If there's something happened, you could potentially. I think the wind up also needs to be changed for a shorter period of time, but that's just me.
Agreed. So, or I think the wind up should be like 3 months.
Or a maximum.
And I think that we need a 90-day without cause just for an emergency like that.
Well, I mean, these things do happen, and I have experienced that mm-hmm. in a pretty crucial organization where a very unexpected occurrence happened to a very key central, you know,
and
person who
say
was
in case of emergency, in case of an emergency. I mean, we could have a clause like that, like if there's a change of personnel or change of leadership or, you know,
that, hard to define, less. But I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't.
But that's
I mean, we're not checking out a 90-day out.
What I appreciate is it sounds like there's a tremendous amount of agreement and you've got a great working relationship with Chief Collins, and everybody's like, let's move forward. But so we wouldn't anticipate this, but I think it's crucial to have that in the contract because we don't know what would happen.
But in a specific way, I agree. And I think that's something we ought to bounce off of Richard and, and Mr. Quinn.
I concur.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I think the
likelihood. Likelihood of that happening, though, Trish.
I'd like to say not say on my it. Watch.
But you never know.
Right. Well, that's it. The likelihood, and I agree.
And I just turned 75, so I don't like talking about that.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, but I mean the world. I am a hospice nurse, so, you know.
That's your business, too.
So
that would be my request.
Thank you.
We'll refer to Richard Davis.
Okay.
We can certainly refer to Richard Davis regarding some kind of contingency, have him come up with something
personnel-based contingency
about that, but we can't refer to Richard Davis regarding the time. You guys have to set your own time, how long you want.
Mm-hmm. I think that's
whether it's 90 days or 6 months or whatever.
Well, I know it's dead 6 months, but with that proviso. So that's an escape in case one of the primetime players crashes. Which would crumble the whole process anyhow. It really would.
But that's not what they're saying. They would like a 90-day without cause.
Well, they're two different things.
Yeah, they are two different things.
We could play with whatever word you may work for.
Then, as part B, could we consider the 90 days without cause? Again, I don't expect this to happen, but my understanding is that's not unusual.
Well, we have time to think about
clause.
It.
Great.
An unusual circumstance.
Can I bring something up? You know, I have an obligation at 7 o'clock that I tried to get out of, and I cannot. We've been at this for over 2 hours. We do have another meeting planned on Wednesday. Can we pick this up on Wednesday?
I was thinking about the same thing myself.
Yeah, we might have to knock off something else on the...
Okay.
Yeah, we've got budgets that day.
Budgets we have to do, but we can knock off the long-term.
But I think we've come a long, long way in processing this. And we're talking about, you know, losing 2 days. Now, we can approach council incrementally. So sure. What you have in hand now, Nathan, you can have Richard Davis and Mr. Quinn process. If any additional observations, questions, whatever pop up on the second session, which is only 48 hours from now, it won't take them very long to process it.
And part of it's really easy.
Do you want to just cover a couple more things before we head out of here?
Are we done with section 4?
Are we done with section 4?
I think so.
Yeah. Are you guys coming Wednesday?
Does anyone have any issues on section 5?
When I'm a public hospital district commissioner, we're having short.
Okay. I'm going to put you on that.
This is very short. Okay. Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks
for coming.
We have gone up to 2 toilet breaks if we go 2 hours.
We need food here is what you need. Dinner.
No, it's right
you
in
just
there.
Keep going all the way to television.
So let's explore the idea on 4.2 or wherever it is appropriate with under maybe these be 4.3, but there's a 90-day out without cause.
So does anyone have any issues on 5?
No.
6.1 should say and not or. Current and or appropriate insurance levels. Say current and appropriate insurance. They have to be current and they have to be appropriate.
Okay.
They can't be our current. It implies that our current ones may not be appropriate.
Okay.
Is what the sentence implies. Mm-hmm. Or could be inappropriate. Right. I like inappropriateness, but not in a contract. And I suggest that we stop there because the hold harmless, the parties acknowledge these can be thorny issues.
So we're going to get through.
These are
okay.
The rest of that.
We've got notes up until 6.1.
So I would suggest that we stop at 6.1 and come back. Because when you get tired, you don't make good decisions, and it's always in the details. It's always in the details.
Pam, could we have our meeting on Wednesday a little sooner to accommodate the additional workload?
I'm bumping up against a really tight deadline with the premier officials. We're meeting over at PIMC at 2 and then coming here at 3.
So why don't we start before 2?
Yeah.
As an independent body, we can strike a meeting.
Okay, well, y'all can do that without me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be over there.
Absolutely.
Okay, fine.
What's this now?
It won't be as much fun, but.
No, go ahead.
If you have suggestions, you can shoot it.
And then I will bring the premier officials over.
Right.
Great.
And then we can do them. And do them.
We're just going to have the same problem Wednesday, though, because there's a huge, there's budgets to do as well.
Yeah, it's going to be on Wednesday.
True.
Yeah. And I don't think Gail can be here.
We don't have to do the long-term planning.
Yeah, we can defer that. Okay.
What date is it that you're talking about? This
16th.
Wednesday at 3.
The 16th.
We're going to have a meeting with LifeWise, the new insurance company is coming
so
in.
So you're talking about putting this in that meeting?
Yes. Preceding it, Chair.
Okay. I'll change all the notices tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay.
And maybe we can do a work session on the day of our regular board meeting to work on budgets.
Oh, if we need to.
Okay.
We're still okay with timelines.
Yeah, but I think we ought to try to do it
Wednesday.
You know, that's very, very important. So.
Yeah.
I like that. You should be able to get
But again, I think we're close.
Well, we're close. There's only, we're so. Almost at the end. It's not
okay.
A very long
contract.
Okay. Are we prepared to adjourn, George?
Well
Lisa,
prepared.
We'll start with you.
I'm ready to go.
You're ready. Okay, meeting's adjourned. Thank you.